Later that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, they had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." And then he showed them his hands and side. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. And Jesus repeated his greetings, "Peace to you. Just as God sent me, I send you." He then took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they are gone for good. If you don't forgive, what are you going to do with them?" I'm going to read that again. "If you forgive someone's sins, they are gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" I just love that. But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples told him, "We've seen the master." And he said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hands, put fingers in the nail holes, and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time Thomas was with them, and Jesus came through the locked doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." But he focused his attention on Thomas. "Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, believe." Thomas said, "My master and my God." Jesus said, "So you believe because you have seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." Amen. So, there were two pieces in that scripture that you just heard that should have jumped out at you. One of them I reread for you, so that's easy. The thing about forgiveness. What's the other one?
Seeing is believing.
Well, at least for Thomas it was, right? And I know that we, you know, you've heard this story for however old you are and however long you've been in the church. This is the favorite first Sunday in Easter story, right? Because Jesus is able to magically go through doors, okay, and just kind of appear. And they got the huddle, they got the disciples kind of like the huddled, frightened children that they are. They're hiding behind locked doors.
Yep.
I don't think that's why John tells the story. And I don't even think it was Jesus' point. I think the first point that we ought to pay attention to is the fact that when he showed up, remember, and I said this last week at Easter sunrise, I said it Good Friday, there is no resurrection if there's no what?
Forgiveness.
Amen. First words off the cross, God forgive them. If Jesus doesn't do that, then we're not here today. Or we've got somebody else that we're following, or something else. So the bottom line here is Jesus had to make a choice to forgive because he recognized that only in forgiveness was their life. So what's the first thing he says and does to the disciples in that first appearance? I mean, we could be dramatic with the breathing of the Holy Spirit, but it's the lesson that he teaches at that point. He says, look, you now have the power to forgive. You can do this. And if you forgive, it's done. It's finished. But if you don't, now that's the question.
Jewish people couldn't forgive. It was up to God.
Yes. But what I'm trying to get at is what it does to us. Because the next part of that question was, if you don't forgive, if you don't let it go, what happens?
It eats you up inside. You know, my personal belief, it will eat you up.
It's a fact of life. You talk about anybody who's an alcoholic, a drug addict, You talk about people that are coming out of broken homes. You talk about people that have lost their jobs and they can't get a job. You talk about over half the homeless out on the street. We are not talking about anything other than it not being pointed out on how to teach people to let go. If you think about the situation of that week going into what we call Holy Week, and we're 2,000 years after the fact, so we can kind of sit back and go, okay, we know how this ends. But look how crazy and chaotic. Do you have any idea how, excuse my French, how pissed off those people must have been and how scared they were? I mean, this was an armed group of people that came into the Garden of Gethsemane and arrested him. There was this huge mob where there was witnesses. We don't get all the details, but witness after witness after witness lied about who Jesus was and what they had seen him do. And then you had a foreign government. You know what? Stop for a minute, because you know what I'm about to say right now, right? No, not you. I mean,
stop and think.
You know what I'm about to say. This sounds like our political campaign, does it not? People lying about people, people calling each other names. We've got a government that would dearly love to take over our lives, amen? They would dearly love to be able to tell you where to go. And by the way, wherever you go in Atlanta, do not think that you're not on camera, amen? Whatever store you walk into, whatever parking lot you pull into, it's all there. And we've done that, what? In the name of security. So I'm telling you, what happened back then is not any different than what we're doing today. And that's why it's really important that when Jesus showed up after the fact, the only reason he was there was because he was able to forgive. And then he turned around and said, by the way, if you folks want to live, if you want to be a part of me, then you got to forgive. If you forgive, it's done and over. You got to let it go. Then he hits us with that other question, though. And that, to me, is the thing that ought to just really bug us this morning. If you don't forgive, what are you going to do with it? Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what are you going to use?
Or you're going to exclude folks.
Oh.
Are you going to use?
Or you're. Go ahead.
You're going to use your power to forgive at a club? Get in line.
Meet my requirements, and I'll forgive you.
Amen. I mean, what have we done to communion over the years? Communion has become a power and control wedge, right? If you don't ask for forgiveness and the priest don't forgive you, or you don't confess your sins before you come to this table, they try to tell you there is no forgiveness.
Yeah. But the Father wasn't listening.
Amen. That's the prodigal son. Amen. But that's the point. Jesus said, you've got the power to do this. We don't have to wait for God. God has already done it. Now it's up to us. That is why I've always talked about it's about owning your faith, not renting it. You rent it when you let somebody else tell you what you need to do. If you don't forgive, folks, you're putting that in a drawer. And eventually that drawer is going to get full. And eventually it's going to cost you. And it's going to cost you in ways that you don't want to talk about. Last point. Yes, the Thomas story is great. Let us not gloss over the fact that we too live in a century where we want to see stuff in order to make sure that it's correct. We live in a computer age. Vicki, you just said your daughter, you know, and that is all sight. Press a button, it happens, and you see it right there. We instantly know about news. We know what happened over in Belgium within what? 30 seconds of it happening? And then it's a 24-hour news cycle. We continue on. But again, what was Jesus' comment to Thomas? Look, you're fine because you got to see this. But where, when he says, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe anyway. What do we do with that? Well, I don't think we do anything with that until we understand the concept of forgiving. Now stay with me. If you find it in your heart to forgive, then you're proof of the resurrection. God bless you this morning.